God is good. And all the time. Well, that's enough to scare you. Tell you what. How's everybody doing today? Yeah. I tell you what. Now, I got a question for you. It's very serious. Do you think the warm weather's here to stay, or is this just April Fool's early? Boy, that was a chorus, wasn't it? I tell you what, well, I welcome you. My name is Eric Dirks, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it is a joy to see you today. Thank you so much for coming to be together, to focus our hearts and our lives upon the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, and the one who continues to sustain us. Amen? If you would, well, first of all, I received an envelope in the mail from the bishop, and you know, that's always the first thing I open. And it is a letter thanking us for paying 100% of our apportionments. Yes. Along with a certificate that we can frame. Now, for those who may not know, apportionments are a portion of our missions for the church. Our monies that go to apportionments dig wells in Mozambique to give fresh water to folks. They buy clothes for people. They support nothing but nets, which helps people overcome malaria. The nets have a chemical on it that when the mosquitoes land on, you know, they surround the family. And whenever the mosquitoes land on those nets, it kills the mosquitoes, but it doesn't hurt the families. And so those folks, you know, were overcoming malaria that way. I mean, different things like that. Here in the United States, whenever floods happen, United Methodist Church is set up. UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, sets up stations to help. You all have experienced that. I know I have in Northwest Missouri a while back, whenever the flood happened up there. So anyway, that's what our apportionments are, and I just want to thank you for supporting apportionments and allowing us to pay 100% of 2010's apportionments. My hat's off to you. Praise God. If you would open up your bulletin, and while you're doing that, one thing we like to do here at First Church is recognize great successes amongst us. Is amongst a word? Okay. I'm sure now that I've said it, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's got to be there. It's got to be there. But we have an all-state wrestler amongst us. Wesley Jackson is sixth place in the state. Got to stand up so people can see what you look like there, bud. Yeah. I used to wrestle 152. Respect. Boy, I tell you what. Seventh grade. Yeah, I think that's about right. I was 185 by the time I was a sophomore. So, but anyway, okay, excellent. Congratulations. We are extremely proud of you for that accomplishment, Wesley. If you would turn to your announcements in the bulletin, one thing that was shared with me today, if I can find them, we don't want to forget, we have a great ministry here called Prayer Warriors. It's an email prayer chain, essentially is what it is. And if you're not a part of that, we invite you to be a part of that. On this connection card, make sure you put your email address, and Cliff will add you to the Prayer Warriors list. And so if there are concerns and joys, and we try to limit it, but sometimes joys in the form of announcements come through there too, because that's our best way to communicate with a large number of people. But make sure you put your email address on there so that we can send you those joys and concerns. Speaking of the connection card, it does tear off. It's perforated. You may have to fold it back and forth a couple times, but it will tear. And if you would put that in the offering basket later on the service when it comes by you. If you're visiting today, please make sure you fill this out. Put your name, address, telephone number, email address, if that's how you like to be contacted, so that we can greet you properly. And that would be your offering to us, if you would put that in the offering basket. Also, make sure you pay attention to all these little squares here. There may be things that you're interested in. Now, an example, youth ministry. You may say, oh man, I don't want to put my mark there because they're going to ask me to be a youth sponsor, right? Well, that may be the case, but that's also, for instance, maybe bringing meals to our youth at night. As I've said many times, for many of our youth, the meal that they have here on Sunday night, well, we've all eaten school lunches, so that is the best meal that they get during the week. So, you know, that is a way for this church to support the community as far as our youth is concerned. You've heard of Caring Ministries and all the plethora. There's another one. But I did look that one up in the dictionary, and it's a real word. Caring Ministries, a lot of things underneath Caring Ministries that you can be active in. So don't assume anything with these other than gathering information for yourself if you think you are interested in that. A lot of important announcements. Of course, next Sunday will be Lunch Bunch. It's a way that this church helps raise money for our apportionments. It's also a way for us to be together and fellowship as Christians and, of course, eat great food. So we can't forget that at all. And that's the Seekers Sunday School class that's going to be doing that next week. One thing, a lot of important announcements, and all of them are important, but one thing I want to share with you, our nursery, I don't know if you noticed last Sunday when Kids Corner, all the kids came up here. I don't know if anybody counted, but there were 27 kids up here last week. Praise God. Praise God. Many of those kids are in our child care during worship, okay? If you notice up underneath the headliner for today's service, seventh Sunday after the Epiphany, and then it says, and I want you to say this really fast, five times, Safe Sanctuary Certified Child Care. Safe Sanctuary Certified Child Care. So, all right, what that means is your kids are safe. Your kids are safe. And we've done all that we can to make sure that your kids will be safe. And one thing that we are reestablishing, it's been present, but we are kind of reemphasizing it. If you take your child to child care, you will sign in. And the only way you can get your child out of child care is for that person or someone who is on the approved list to sign them out. Does that make sense? So in other words, someone that we don't know can't come in and pick up your child from nursery, and the child won't be released from the nursery without your presence. Anybody, that makes sense to everybody? So make sure that you know that. If you would like to work, we really need people to work during this service. And if you love childcare, if we can get like eight of you to help out our staff person back there, Faith, think about it. Once every 2 months, you would be in the nursery. Of course, we would need you to be to obtain the Safe Sanctuary certification, but we really need some help, especially during this service. So I'm not trying to take up a lot of time, but that is something that I really want to lift up because it is an important ministry. Amen. In the life of this church community. So we have a lot of great things going on. Make sure you compare your announcements, our announcements with your calendar, and so that you will be aware of all the wonderful things that are taking place with this church community. Are you ready for an awesome worship service today?
Yes.
Excellent. I can't wait myself. So Mark, he's going to take over, and we're going to get started for our worship today.
Thank you, Mark. At this time, if you will all please stand, we will sing together, "Be Unto Your Name." You'll find the words on the screen.
Picked us up, God, and you washed us off with the water of baptism. And we give you thanks and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we gather as a church community, Lord, we just want to lift our hands, lift our minds, lift our souls to you, God. In Jesus' name. May we truly, Lord, be washed clean again this day. May we experience your power in tangible ways this day. Dear God, as your presence moves into this place, we just ask that all evil and negative thoughts run scared from it, Lord. May this whole block worship your holy name. May you be so present in our lives that when we leave this worship service today, your presence oozes from us. Your love may be felt to anyone who is around us, God, because of how you filled us so full today. May your light shine in every dark corner of our life, God. We love you. And we thank you so much. Dear God, in Jesus' name, make us one with you and one with each other so that we can truly, truly worship you. I don't know if you like clapping your hands or not, but I hope you do. Let's get those hands warmed up today. How about that? A new hallelujah. Here we go.
Can you hear? There's a new song breaking out from the children.
Gotta join us on that, yeah.
Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make it known and make it famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah.
Yeah, all right.
To the other. let the church arise. Let love reach to the other side. Alive, come alive. Let the song arise.
Sing it again, arise. Please be seated.
Kids, if you'd come on down for Kids Corner, you'll be joining Kathy Anstadt this morning. So come on down. Letters in the mail. I love getting mail. Don't you like getting mail? Well, this letter made me especially happy because it was from my friend Carol from high school. We've been friends for years and years and years and years, but when I got ready to send her her Christmas card, I'd lost her address. I didn't know where to send it, and we'd lost touch. And so I was really glad to get this letter because it's meant that she still wanted to be my friend. She wanted us to stay connected. Well, in this letter, it tells me that she got married and it sent me a picture of her new family. And it told me all the things that had happened to them this year. She'd gotten remarried and one of her daughters had gotten married and they had two new grandchildren and they'd bought a new house. She'd had a great year. I was just so glad to hear from her. The next letter I got was a surprise letter from my mom. Now, in it was a poem that she sent me. And this is a poem that as she has gone through her year, she said, Kathy, I thought you might appreciate this. It has helped her through some pretty hard times. And she thought that if I had this poem, if ever I got into some hard times, it would help me out too. So I was glad to get it. Now this letter, I wasn't so glad to get it at first because it's from my dentist. He reminded me that a couple of weeks ago he cleaned my teeth so that in the long run they won't rot and fall out when I get old and I can still chew my food because he knows how much I like chew food. But he's reminding me I need to pay him. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? I'm glad I got this letter because he's done something really nice for me, helped me take care of my teeth. I want to pay him. He deserves it. And this letter, this might have been my very favorite one.
It does look like a Christmas card, but it's a Valentine from my husband. Telling me that he loves me. I love it when someone tells me they love me. All right. Well, you know, our Bible is a lot like the letters I got this week in the mail. Our Bible is like a letter from God. Just like my friend Carol said, I don't want to lose touch with you. I want us always to be friends. God gave us the Bible because he wants us to stay connected. He always wants us to be friends. And just like the Bible, or just like Carol's letter, showed me what her new family looks like, the Bible tells us what God looks like. Now, not what he looks like with our eyes, but what he looks like in the way he acts, because the Bible tells us he's like Jesus. And Jesus was kind and loving and cared about people, so we know God does too. And just like Carol wrote me and told me all the things that happened to her, the Bible tells us things that God does. He created the world. He led the Israelites out of Egypt. He gave them the Ten Commandments. And when people interpreted the Ten Commandments in 100 different ways and had all these little rules, God sent his son to show us there's only two rules: love God and love one another. And it's even a little bit like my letter from my dentist. Even when it says God has done lots of good things for us, we need to give back, don't we? In the Bible it says God loves a cheerful giver. It's like the letter from my mom, because in the Bible there are lots and lots of different poems that can help us when we're having trouble, like the one that says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so I know that God is always watching out for me. And the one that says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it," reminds me that every day I wake up, it's just a blessing to wake up and be a part of this world. And the part that says, "And they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles," lets me know that whenever I get tired and discouraged, if I just wait for a little bit, the Lord will give me the strength to go on for a little bit more. And most, it's like this Valentine. The Bible is God's way of showing that he loves us. Now, Atreyu, I have a letter. It says, it's to the children of First United Methodist Church, 154 Washington Street, Warsaw, Missouri. Cool. What do you think we ought to do? Open it up. That's another way your mail is like the Bible. It doesn't do you much good if you don't open it up. All right. Atreyu, would you read this letter to everybody, please?
I can't read.
What?
I can't read.
Oh, you're not old enough to read yet. Okay. That's another thing for us to remember. If you can't read yet, you need to ask someone who can to tell you about what's in the Bible and all the stories that are in it. And if you're someone who can read, it's your responsibility to share the Bible with people who can't, either because they can't read or they don't have one.
Dear children, here is a special pencil for you to use so that you can write letters, and if you can't write yet, that's okay. Use them to draw pictures. Send the letters and pictures to someone you love. It will make them happy, and whenever you see your pencil, remember that you've received mail to the Bible. It's the letter from God. Sincerely, your friend, Kathleen Anstatt.
All right. In here, I have pencils. Now, I have sparkly pencils, but if you think sparkly pencils are, just a minute, a little too girly, then here's some with race cars. Now, before we pass out the pencils and get our cups, let's say a little prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that you wanted to stay connected to us, that you didn't want us to forget about you. And so we've sent the Bible that we can read and remember. It has lots of important information in it. Help us to know and understand it and do your will. Amen.
While the children are preparing to collect change for missions, if you'd please turn in your blue hymn books to page number 733, we will sing together March to Zion. To announce a very special joy this morning. Little Ariana Smith is here this morning. Ariana is the new baby daughter of Kevin and Jenny Smith. We're so glad to have you here and give you our best congratulations. And our joys and concerns this morning, I ask that you remember Harry Job. Harry is home recovering from surgery, and I know he would appreciate your continued prayers as he recovers. I also remind you to take a look on the back of your bulletin of the names that are listed there.
Deanna?
Yes.
Something I failed to mention to you. We had a death in our church family. Henrietta Kahn passed away. And so, obviously, we need to keep the cons in our prayers and recs. And Larry and Holly are here today, and we just need to hug their neck. And tomorrow at 11 o'clock will be her service right here at the church. So. Okay.
Thank you. Our thoughts and prayers are with the cons, very special lady, Henrietta. At this time, if we please go to the Lord in prayer, if you'd bow your heads with me. Dear God, our Creator, you do bless us so abundantly. You walk with us daily, and for that we're grateful. We ask this morning that you be with the Kahn family. Surround them with your love. And let them feel the love of each of us. Because Henrietta has reached her reward. And for that, we're grateful. We ask that you be with those this week that are recovering from surgeries. We ask that you be with those that are awaiting test results. Let them know that you're there with them, giving them strength for whatever lays ahead. We ask that you be with those lives that are needing touched in so many different ways that we don't always are not aware of. We ask that you be with each individual, reminding them that you are there just for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for walking with us daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, the bell choir will be bringing us In His Love.
Thank you very much, Bell Choir. Our scripture for today is taken from the second book of Timothy. Where is the second book of Timothy, the Old or the New Testament? I figured someone would say right after 1 Timothy, but must not be on your game today, right? No. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It's towards the very back of your Bible or your pew Bible, whichever you have, or your Nook or
phone.
Cable. Yeah. These young people and all their gadgets, I tell you, Joe Dale. I don't know. Once you find that, would you close the Bible on your finger and stand with me, please? Let's raise those Bibles high above our heads this morning and say our Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, like I can read competently, equipped for every good work. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Good morning. If I have to run off and go to the bathroom, it's mainly because this little fountain, this running fountain, is sitting here next to me. So I'm going to do my best to stay focused. Kathy, where are you? Wherever you are, you beautifully handled just what today is about in talking with Scripture. There you are. Okay. You just handled it beautifully, and we could probably just wrap it up here. And I mean, you just nailed it. So that's the direction we're going in. Talking about Scripture. There are things in the Bible that we like and things that we don't like. There are things in Scripture that we tend to rejoice and be happy about, things, times that God is full of grace, full of mercy, full of blessing, and we look at those, and those are just like a warm blanket to us, okay? That's like a Snuggie in the middle of winter, all right? We bundle up with those because they're good. And there are definitely times in Scripture where we don't necessarily jive. We don't know really what to think about that. The times that God punishes the wicked, we're really not sure how to take that, because in the end, we ourselves are wicked. No defendant who is guilty of a crime, if he's sitting in a court of law, praises a judge for his justice. He praises a judge for his mercy and for his grace. An example of this would be in John 3:16. We all know it. We all love it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever shall believe in him will not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. Praise God for his grace. Praise God for sending his Son to die for our sins on the cross. This is the message of the gospel. This is the Bible, that God loves us, that he pours out his grace on us. And we put this on T-shirts, we put this on coffee cups, we put this on bumper stickers. There are ministries named after this. Business owners, to get more business in a Christian community, we'll put it out on their marquees. I mean, this is something that is just celebrated, and rightly so. But then we turn to Isaiah 45:7, or a verse similar to it. I form the light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Now, odds are Teddy is not going to get a lot of requests at Teddy's Tees to get that on a shirt. Bible studies will not have that as their key verse for the week to memorize. If we're honest, there are things about the Bible that we like and the things that we don't like, especially the things that we are absolutely guilty of, you are absolutely guilty of. And because we have this attitude, we sort of make ourselves our own boss. We make ourselves our own moral authority. We say, I'll follow your guidelines up into the point where I don't like them. I don't care what the Bible says about forgiveness. You don't know what she said to me, okay? And believe me, if Jesus was there, Jesus would say, look, you don't have to forgive her. I heard what she said. That was pretty nasty. I don't care what the Bible says about sleeping around. I don't care what the Bible says about this. Oh, Jesus died for my sins. Yes, I'll take some of that any day. But whenever we start playing this pick and choose game, that's really a lot like this. If we've got our Bibles, we pour open into it, we look in here, we're like, wow, God is love. How wonderful. I like that. Ooh, that's good. For God so loved the world. Yes, He did. He loves me. He's all about me. Oh, what? Is this the same? Yeah. He creates light and darkness. He creates calamity. What? Oh, I don't like that. Here, let's get rid of that. We'll do away with that. Oh, it gives me the willies. Okay, let's see. Forgiveness, okay? I'm supposed to forgive 77 times 7 times? I'm supposed to forgive people? No, I don't like that either. We'll just do away with that. Get that away from me. Oh, here we go. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Yes, I'll take, but here it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, so I'm not supposed to take. I don't know what to think about that. And so in the end, what we do is we start picking and choosing the things that we think, I'll listen to that, but I won't listen to this. Okay? Everybody breathe. This is not a Bible. Okay? Everybody was thinking it. I was waiting for somebody to get up and leave, honestly. But thank you for holding on. Thank you for holding on. But, I mean, this is really what we do just short of tearing out the pages. We pretty much say, yes, I'll listen to this. No, I won't listen to this. I'll kind of do it my own way. And so on and on it goes. A few years ago, a pastor named Ted Haggard, who's heard of Ted Haggard? Senior pastor, New Life Church in Colorado Springs, got caught up in a few scandals. If you're familiar with him, you know what those are. There's no need in going into them, but he was just a very successful leader, a pioneer with small groups, life groups. Thousands of members went to his church. But he got caught up in this scandal, and the past couple years he's been sort of on a, I guess you could call it a rehabilitation process. He's being rehabilitated to go back into the ministry. And he's recently planted another church in Colorado Springs. And he went on Joy Bear's talk show, and she asked him the question, how do you justify your moral authority to preach to these people? To which he says, I don't justify my own moral authority. I'm not sure I would even go to my own church. And he continued to go on about maybe people that have been in his situation and have received forgiveness. Maybe they'll come, maybe some. What he answered isn't necessarily important or what I'm trying to get at, but I felt like he missed a great opportunity to say there that I have no moral authority. I knew that's how I would answer it for myself. As soon as she asked that, I said, I have no moral authority. God does. Even in this role as a pastor alone, I possess no moral authority. And for all you guys know, Deanna, you were on the search committee. For all you guys know, I could have paid all my references to tell lies about me. I could have doctored degrees, like made fake degrees. I could have just made up cute little anecdotes to get everybody to laugh and maybe learn a little bit about Methodist theology to trick Eric.
Whoa.
And
making
him nervous. But seriously, at the end of the day, I am just some guy that holds no moral authority alone. In the book of Genesis, God speaks and things happen, okay? He creates. His very words create life. And everything obeys him. The weather obeys him. Rivers obey him. The trees obey him. Sickness obeys him. The cells in your body obey him. All that is created waits. It sits and it waits for His command. Any place that you see God speak in the Bible, which you can see it thousands of times in Scripture, you'll see either "Thus saith the Lord" if you're a King James veteran, or in other translations, "And God said." Those are recordings of God speaking in the Bible. If you've still got it, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So, pay attention to the first part, I'm going back to this, that all Scripture is breathed out by God. In the beginning, when God created, he started speaking words. He said, rock, bam, there was a rock. He said, tree, bam, there was a tree. Fish, bam, there was a fish. Labrador retriever, bam, there's a Labrador retriever. Just whatever, you know, he was speaking it and it was coming out. But whenever he created Adam, what was different? Okay, what's that? Out of the dust. Out of the dust, God created Adam, and Scripture says that he breathed life into him. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that about Scripture, that life, the same life that God breathed into Adam, he is breathing into Scripture, and he is speaking to us. He is speaking to the people in the Old Testament. He is speaking to the people in the New Testament. And when God spoke to them, when God spoke to the writers, okay, he did that so that we, you and I, could learn about the nature, the person, the character of the living God who loves us, who saves us, who draws us to himself, who redeems us, who reconciles us. He brings us to himself. Now, what is our tendency immediately? Okay, he loves me. He reconciles me. I must be pretty awesome. Okay, and we make the whole deal about us, right? We make the whole deal about us. Now, I want you to think back a couple years when you were in high school and you got your yearbook, okay? For some of you, it was only like 10 years ago. For others, well, you fill in that number. But careful. Not looking at anybody. Just looking at Jesus up here. Now, think about the first thing you did when you got your yearbook. What did you do? Look for yourself. Absolutely. Absolutely. You turn and look for yourself. But, you know, I'm so glad that a lot of us are past that we've grown out of that. That, you know, we were so vain then. We were so just into ourselves. I'm glad that we've grown from that. But let me ask, when we get our church directories, what's the first thing that we do? I'm going to the G's. Yeah, I'm no different. So really, it's all this again. You know, it's making it about yourself, okay? It's making it about self. I'm important. It's all about me. Some of us have even in ways to get the Bible to appeal to people, we have said things. How many of you have heard this? That the Bible is the roadmap to life. Who's heard that? Okay? That's partially true. I think that there's some gaps in there, but your Bible does have maps in the back. Okay? We got the 12 tribes here, the kingdoms of Saul, David, and Solomon. So we have maps back here, but if it's specifically for me, I don't know if that really holds up too well, if it's all about me. Okay? Let me give you an example. If I were to turn in the index and try to look up Justin Grifford, let's see. I'll start with the J's because it seems like they kind of started, you know, that way. Well, I'm in the G's, so let's go. Let's see here. Glad, gladness, good, greater. We're getting closer. Greatest, greatness, greed, grief, grief, grieve, groan. Okay, so Grifford's not in there. Roll into the J's. Let's see. Judged, judges, judgment, just, justice, getting closer. Justification, justified. Justifies, justly, justly, keep. Okay, well, so justice not in there. So that doesn't really hold up. So let's think, what's another way we can do this? Maybe it works like the magic eight ball. Maybe that's kind of how we should do it. So whenever I wanted to proposed to Stacy, I didn't necessarily ask myself, okay, should I marry Stacy Pritchett? Ask again later. Okay? All signs point to yes. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily work that way either. And so what I decided to do is I took this idea a step further. And since God did not create a biblical map for me, I decided to create my own. So this is Justin's Bible roadmap. It's got like a little river here. You can see the river. All right. It's got your compass here. And you got Warsaw right there. Yep. Okay. Got the river there, compass, Warsaw. And you can already see my artistic ability. So, and I'll kind of read some of these off to you. It might be hard to see. But here's me. Here's this little guy right here. And so I'm born. Justin is born. And on this map, we kind of have different areas that we go off to. Either, you know, whether I choose to go one way or just fate or genetics have me go another way. That's just kind of part of it. So bear with me. So here, I have a route where I can choose to go muscled up and tall, or I can go small and weak. So I was on the small and weak path, track, okay? Next, I had the decision to become a Christian or burn for all eternity. So we are very seeker friendly here. I chose to become a Christian. Next, as I journey along the path, I have either become a dentist, dollar signs, or how about ministry? And so here I find myself in ministry. Next, I have the choice to marry Stacy or be a complete idiot. You see where that got me? And obviously I could fill in details here. Last one was become a senior pastor in Hawaii at a church that's on a beach. You actually surf to get to church and you wear flip-flops, or Warsaw UMC. And here I am. Here I am. Yeah. So what's that? Of course. Why, you know, and we have a community pool and we have so many things. So yeah, everybody's like, he's kind of cracking it. But I could have spent, I spent about 20 minutes on this thing. You can probably tell. And I could have spent a day, I could have spent 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, a year, 10 years, filling in the details, you know, making, maybe adding little graphics here and there, sort of making a more detailed plan of my life. But at the end of the day, God has created and is continuing to create a story for my life that is far better than this. He is creating a plan and a direction for your life far, far greater than this. To do this, to try to create this ourselves and say, God, I know better. I have a better understanding of what's going on. I know what to listen to. I've got my path figured out. It's just a ridiculous exercise. Because are we not the kid painting this picture saying, hey, God, I got it figured out. Check this out, huh? Okay? Ultimately, this is not a book about you. This is a book about God. Okay? This is a book about Him. This is a book about how He speaks to people, how He calls people to Himself, how He interacts with His people. Okay? And it's our tendency to try to make it about us, to pull us back into it. But some of us, we think, you know, you say that the Bible is God speaking to us. I don't necessarily, when I read it, I don't feel like He's speaking to me. I think that He might speak to, I think He speaks to Eric, He speaks to Deanna, but He doesn't speak to me. They're paid professional Christians. He hears their prayers. I don't think that just works out for me. I don't know, but all scripture is breathed out by God. That means there's life in it. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We'll go back a little bit. Now let's talk about that the man or woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Okay, what is competent? What does that mean? Able. The opposite of competent would be unable, incompetent, ignorant, stupid, however you want to say that, okay? So you're going to have that guy that says, you know, Justin, I've been watching a lot of the Discovery Channel. I've been watching a lot of History Channel. I've been on the internet. I've read the Da Vinci Code. And so that's great that you guys believe that God spoke to you and that you guys have that in your Bibles there. That's great, but isn't really the Bible just kind of a big scam? Isn't it just a conspiracy that people put together? And the reality is that in a few weeks, with Easter coming up, you guys are going to see a lot of that. You're going to see on Discovery Channel, you're going to see on History Channel, all these different shows, The Lost Tomb of Jesus, and Who Was Jesus? Who was the historical Jesus? All these different things. And you're going to see that is because historians have to do something with the person of Jesus. Okay? Both believing Christian scholars, non-Christian scholars, agree that Jesus Christ is a historical figure. Okay? Historians that lived in the days of Jesus who were not believers, who were not part of his movement, record that there was a man named Jesus. He performed miracles. He was arrested by the Romans. He was hung on a cross and killed by the Romans, and that he was raised from the dead. So, again, scholars, they can't argue. They have to do something with the person of Jesus. They cannot dismiss him as a fictional person. Again, that's why you're going to see him on the cover of Time. That's why you're going to see him on the History Channel. That's why you're going to see him on the cover of People, Field and Stream, Cat Fancy, Birds and Blooms, whatever your magazine is, it's going to be there. Odds are. And really, if you can get your mind wrapped around the resurrection, if you can fathom the resurrection, all the other miracles that took place in the Bible, all the other things, Moses parting the Red Sea, all these things that God did are pretty easy to grasp, I think, if you can grasp the resurrection and all the evidence that goes with that. But there's a lot of people, they believe that there was this conspiracy going on, that the disciples put together this conspiracy and that they were going to decide what scriptures would go where and what they would keep. And in order to do this, they would protect Jesus and protect the movement and protect what's going on. There's a lot of problems with that theory. The first one, I'm not going to name them all, but the first one is who discovered the empty tomb of Jesus and saw Jesus first? Yeah, the two women, Mary and I think it was Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of James. They saw Jesus, and why is that a problem? Does anybody know? Is that a problem? In first century, Anita knows, in first century Judea, a woman's eyewitness testimony does not hold up in court. So for example, if we were in first century and I saw Ray and Debbie walking down a dark alley, and I said, hey, how's it going, guys? And I walked past him, and I took out a knife and just, boosh, put it in Ray, and he just falls over dead. Debbie sees me do it. I go, ha-ha, and I run off. If she were to go to the police and give an eyewitness account of that, in first century Judea, it would not hold up. So if the disciples are masterminding and putting that together to protect Jesus, they're going to throw that out, don't you think? They're going to throw out that account. Not to mention, if you're a disciple, do you think you want all of your boneheaded stories in the Bible? Like, let's talk about Peter. If you're Peter, you're probably taking out the account where, I don't know, you deny Jesus three times and run away from a little girl questioning you. If you're Peter, you're probably taking out the part where Jesus calls you Satan. Okay. If you're Thomas, you're probably taking out the part where you say, I'll believe Jesus when I see it. Whenever I touch the holes in his hands, I'll believe it. Okay. In all the other times that Jesus made the disciples look like second graders, just from some of the questions that he asked them, if you're the disciples, you're changing some of that. And whenever you're proclaiming Christ and whenever you're proclaiming his message and you start getting killed for it, whenever you start getting hung on crosses upside down, whenever you start getting beaten, whenever you start getting boiled in pots alive, you think that eventually comes out that says, okay, we're done. We're done with this little masquerade. It's all a lie. Some say that that the disciples, it wasn't the disciples, that they knew what they were talking about, but there was a conspiracy around 4th century whenever they closed the canon. And just to give you a quick little history lesson, anytime you hear about the biblical canon, that's what this is. It's the Bible. And what that means is in the 4th century, a group got together and came together and decided which books of the Bible would be in the Bible, what is not of Christ, and what is. And there's a lot of people that believe, oh, there was a lot of conspiracy around that time, that politics and power sort of controlled that area, and Constantine was an emperor of Rome at that time, and that he headed that up. But the truth in that is that that's not necessarily historically accurate either. In 160 AD, Irenaeus, he was a church father. I know this is boring to some of you, but he was a church father, and he identified in 160 AD that there are four gospels. But there are four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. On top of that, he lays down the Old Testament books and the New Testament books in his writing and to his congregation and other congregations in France. So if you've read the Da Vinci Code and you've read, oh, it's a conspiracy that went on around the 4th century. No, the scriptures, the books in the Bible were identified well before that. Okay? Just, you know, and some of you are wondering why I'm talking about this. Maybe some of you need to hear that. Maybe you're a thinker. Maybe you kind of need just some skeptical, you got some skeptical things going on, and you just kind of need to hear that evidence. But really, I think a lot of people just like to create some disbelief in something that's bigger than they are. And some people just like to create drama for drama's sake. I'm glad that we don't do that within the church. So, talking about the resurrection, where's the evidence of that? We've been talking about some of the evidences for that. And Paul writes in Acts 26:26. I'm going to try to wrap it up soon. Paul's talking to King Agrippa, and he says, "For the king knows about these things," talking about Christ and spread of his message. "And to him I speak boldly, for I am persuaded that none of these things have escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner." So what Paul's saying is, this has not happened in seclusion. This has not happened on some island. You see what's going on. You see this spreading. You see the influence that's going on. A lot of pastors and preachers today, if you had questions about the resurrection or questions about the Bible, they'd say, oh, you have to just believe. You have to have faith. That's not Paul's argument here. His argument is, here are the facts. This is a fact. We have eyewitnesses for this. I mean, what else do you want me to do? In Luke writes to Theophilus, "Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." So here's Luke, a Gentile. He traveled with Paul, very much sort of the mind of the skeptic. If you're a skeptic and you're just not sure about a lot of this, Luke is an excellent book to read for you, because you see a lot of these, you see a lot more details in Luke, because Luke's just like, I want the eyewitnesses. I want to see just what the details are about this. And Paul, this is the last big one. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," which is Peter, "then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." So he's saying that many of these eyewitnesses, 500 eyewitnesses, many of them are still alive, okay? So if you want to go ask them about it, go ask them about it. These are the facts. Here are the eyewitnesses. "Then he appeared to James,
Here we go. How's that? Uh-huh. Do I need to start over? No, they're like, no, please. No. But there's all this evidence, okay? They have to do something with Jesus. And people will try to discredit whether he really died or not. Yeah, he just fell asleep and he got up, yet he could still roll away the stone and jog 7 miles to Emmaus. You know, there's just going to be all this goofy stuff that's out there. And this is why we're talking about this. 2 Timothy 3:17, know your Bible so that you may be competent about such things. So my message, I guess if I have 2 points today, is to reassure you that the Scriptures are authoritative. Okay, God spoke these things. God is speaking these things to you. He is breathing life into you. And the second would be competency, so that you would know, so that you would be wise in such things. Jesus is who he says he is. God reveals himself to mankind first by creating him, breathing life into him. Jesus speaking to him and coming in the flesh. Jesus came not to just reveal himself to us, but to die for us as well. He is not just a good teacher or a good person. I had a lot of good teachers in college, but the minute that they start saying that they're God, not so sure about them being good teachers. Miss Wesley, have you ever told any of your kids that you were God? Not yet. Okay. Okay. So Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord of all creation. My prayer today is that you don't see this book just as a set of guidelines, that you don't see it as a book of do's and don'ts, but that you see it as life, that you see it as a way to know the God of the universe, that in reading it, you would see his incredible, deep longing to know you and to be known by you, to know the God that saves you, the God that redeems you, the God that reconciles himself to you to himself. And the last passage I had up here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it take up residence inside of you. Let it live inside of you so that you may give life to others. So when you start to see it this way, when you start to see what God says about life, you start to see, he starts to speak to you and he says, Justin, the Sabbath works like this. Sex was created for this. Money was created like this. And you begin to just celebrate what he's speaking to you. And you begin to just do what it commands. Not because he's your ultimate authority. Not because he's the God of all creation. But because you love him. You do crazy things for the people that you love. You even die for them. You even die for him. Let's pray. God, we've talked today just about how we can trust you, how your scriptures are reliable, that you have spoken and that you speak to us and that your Bible is a love letter to us that's not necessarily about us, but it is about you, and it is about you sharing the greatest thing that we could ever have, which is yourself. God, thank you for just revealing yourself to us. God, make us competent. Give us competency in all these things. And God, we just ask that as we begin to close and God, as we move into baptism, we just pray that your life, that you breathe life into us, and that life that lives inside of us can be shown and can be breathed out all over the earth. We ask this in your name. Amen.
If you would turn in your hymn books to page number 601, we'll sing Thy Word is a Lamp. Thank you.
Please be seated. We have a great joy today. Hi. Andy and Tiffany and Addison. Hi, Addison. Hi. She's saying, oh, what's all that cool stuff back there? Yeah. We have a great joy today. As many of you know this young man a lot better than I do, growing up in this church, and of course had a time away and brought home a beautiful wife and now a beautiful daughter. Yes. Are you going to let me hold you? Huh? You think so? You can trust me, especially, you know, here. Boy, I tell you what. Yeah. Yeah. But they have brought Addison to be baptized today, and it is just a great celebration in the life of the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. This is a moment in the Christian community when we recognize and celebrate the grace of God living in each of us. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Baptism is a belonging of God claiming us as His own. It is a beginning of a lifelong journey. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Would you guys come right here and face us? Oh, okay. Sure, sure. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world that create brokenness and suffering that work against God's plan of healing and wholeness? And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates that brokenness rather than wholeness? Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with this church, which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing? I do. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? We will. Do you desire to have this child baptized into this particular church? Hi.
We do.
Sorry, she distracted me. Do you desire to have this child baptized into this particular church community, as well as the faith and the family of the entire body of Christ? Acknowledging her need for nurture in a Christian community of caring and concerned people, do you promise to allow this church community, this church community of concerned individuals, to love and care for her by bringing her into the life of this community, to worship, to teach her the story of our faith, to guide her as she is called into response to the gospel, and to encourage her to be in relationship with other believers as she grows in her faith in God? Church community, would you please stand? Why don't you turn around and face this church community right there? So you can see. Those who have a spiritual heritage with Addison, this local church community, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Also, recognizing that there are many persons who touch the lives of children beyond their parents, and recognizing that in many ways the church community has as much influence as parents and immediate family, do you, First Church Community, promise to help and support Andy and Tiffany in their parenting and give your time, your protection, your guidance, and your love, providing her with continuing opportunities to explore her growing relationship with God? Please join together. with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Addison with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust in God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. And we do promise to support her through our time, our protection, our guidance, and our love. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, turn around, face me. Right here. Addison? Hi. Hi there. It's okay. Look at all those wonderful people. Huh? You want to come up here? It's okay. It's all right. Look, there's Mommy. Tell you what, why don't you hold her? And I'll kind of stand behind you. Can you hold her down like this? Just a little bit. I don't want to get you all wet. Hey. Hi. I'm going to, Addison, looky. I'm going to get you a little wet, okay? All right, here we go. Let us pray. God, our Creator, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the people and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We baptize with water. Baptize us with the Holy Spirit so that what we say may be your word. And what we do may be your work. By your power, God, may we be made one in Jesus Christ, common in faith and purpose. Amen. By what name is called this beautiful child?
Addison Rebecca Hill.
Addison Rebecca Hill. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. There you go. The Holy Spirit work within you, Addison. Here you go, Mom. Child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the church. This child is now received into the love and care of the church. See what love God has given us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Amen. Hey, Addison, can I take you down the aisle? Here you go, Mommy.
Thank you.
Maybe not. There we go. I'll just walk with her. Come on, Andy. We'll walk together. Look at this beautiful family. Folks, we have promised to help Andy and Tiffany raise this beautiful daughter. Let us do so. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's say a prayer and then you can sit down. Come on back. Thank you. Let's pray. Savior, giver, and keeper of all life, once again, you have taken the substance of earth. You've taken the substance of earth into your hands, God, fashioned it into your likeness, and given it the breath of life. We give you thanks for the birth and the life of Addison Rebecca Hill. As we celebrate her baptism, we marvel at the spiritual journey that she will take with you, a journey filled with faith in the midst of mystery, hope in the midst of life's challenges, and love calling her to serve. Guide her, Lord, as she grows in faith. Let your peaceful assurance rest upon her and her family. Gently remind her of your strong presence in her life. Help this church community be a good and Christ-like influence in her life so that she may come to know you personally and trust you completely. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
I have some gifts for you. I don't know why they didn't give you a blue bag.
And then here's her certificates.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's give Andy and Tiffany a hand. Isn't God amazing? This church is so blessed to have so many children. Amen. I mean, the church is blessed to have all of you too, but don't children just kind of put it right where it needs to be? I mean, I just praise God. Wow. Now is the time that we can celebrate in this by giving of your tithes and your offerings. And so I invite the ushers to come forward, and we just ask that you give your tithes and offerings to God's church. Amen.
Number 176, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
Bye.
Thank you so much for coming to worship with us today. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence in a very, very powerful way. Justin, would you like to close us?
Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the weather. God, we thank you for the changes in the season. And God, as we leave this place, Lord, may your breath, may your spoken word dwell in us richly. May it create life, and may we share that life with everyone. Lord, we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.